Lori Newman. I'm with the Division of STD Prevention, and I'll be talking today about monitoring genital wart disease in STD clinics through the STD Surveillance Network, which I'll be calling SUN. The STD Surveillance Network was set up by the CDC to improve the national capacity to detect, monitor, and respond to emerging trends in STDs and related behaviors. The initial activities that we began with were looking at enhanced gonorrhea surveillance in STD clinics and doing some population-based enhanced gonorrhea surveillance. But with the advent and the arrival of the quadrivalent vaccine in fall of 2006, we decided that it was important to look at genital wart surveillance in STD clinics as well. The rationale behind this activity was the following. With the licensure of the quadrivalent HPV vaccine in June of 2006, genital warts became a vaccine-preventable disease. The quadrivalent vaccine is over 99% efficacious for genital wart prevention. We know very little about genital warts. What we do know comes from a national survey, NHANES, that showed that the seroprevalence of HPV-11, just one of the two types that cause genital warts, is 4.7%. We have information from an HMO analysis that showed that patients with genital warts required an average of 3.1 visits per genital wart diagnosis, and that each episode cost an approximate $436 per episode. And then we have some data from Seattle that showed that approximately 10% of STD clinic visits related to HPV. The objectives of this activity were to develop standardized methodology for genital wart surveillance in STD clinics and to monitor the trends over time in some of the following areas. We wanted to look at the percent of STD clinic visits that were due to genital warts at baseline and follow them over time. We wanted to look at the demographic and clinical characteristics of patients with genital warts. We wanted to evaluate the proportion of patients with genital warts who received HPV vaccine. We wanted to look at the impact of genital wart diagnosis and treatment on STD clinic resources. The STD Surveillance Network has six geographic areas that it covers, and it includes a total of 17 STD clinics. Our methodology is the following. We collect information on all patients in these clinics, and the data are collected either at registration routinely or during the routine clinical encounter. However, we have data sent to CDC only for specific activities. So data, for example, for this activity are transmitted only for patients who are diagnosed or treated for genital warts, and those are the patients that I'll be describing today in this analysis. I'll be showing data today from August 1st, 2006 through December of 2007, though this is an ongoing activity and this is only a start. The types of information that we collect are the following. We collect the basic demographic information. We collect information on the sex of sex partners. We collect information on HIV status. We try and determine whether an episode is a first versus a recurrent or a subsequent episode. And we do this in three different ways. We do it through self-report by the patient, provider report or diagnosis, and review the chart for a one-year time period. And that's how we determine if this is a follow-up visit or not. We look at the treatment of patients with genital wart. We look at HPV vaccine history, and we look at all kinds of other kind of behavioral and risk factor kind of information. So this is the kind of information we obtain through this STD Surveillance Network. What we see here is the proportion of STD clinic visits that are related to genital warts. In our database right now, we have data on over 10,000 genital wart visits. I'm also going to show you here how that compares to what we see with gonorrhea, which is a disease that people are much more familiar with and understand, have a better familiarity with its impact on these STD clinic settings. What we see here is that on average, genital warts accounted for 3.9% of all clinic visits, with a range of between 3 and 13% of STD clinic visits being due to genital warts. In contrast, what we see with gonorrhea was about 3% of gonorrhea, 3% of all clinic visits are due to gonorrhea. In most settings, genital warts is a much more common, is associated with more visits than gonorrhea. Another way of looking at this is to look, another way of looking at this is to look at the number of visits for patients with genital warts. And in this analysis right here, I'm looking at over 4,000 unique patients. And what we see here is that patients required on a range of between one visit and up to 30 visits over the time period that we were looking at this, over approximately a year and a half time period. And over 30% of patients had more than one visit, required more than one visit. Another way of looking at this is to look at the proportion of genital wart visits that were due to a follow-up visit. And what we found is that over half of the visits were due to follow-up visits. Now, this slide shows the reported sex and sexual orientation of patients with genital warts. And you can see that between 3 and 30% of genital wart patients were men who have sex with men. But the majority of patients in all clinical settings were men who were heterosexual men. Now, of course, all of the following data that I'm going to be showing you is subject to the underlying makeup of the STD clinic population. And the regional variations in that affect the data that we're showing here today quite strongly. When we look at the race ethnicity of patients with genital warts attending these clinics, we saw that a much higher proportion of genital wart patients are white in the western states, whereas in some of the eastern locations, genital wart patients were much more likely to be black. When we look at the age of patients with genital warts, we found that about two-thirds of patients were under the age of 30. When we looked at the reported HIV status of patients with genital warts, and we stratified this by sex and sexual orientation, we found that MSM were about 16.5% of MSM with genital warts were HIV positive. In contrast, heterosexual men and heterosexual women were with genital warts were much less likely to be HIV positive. I'm just going to show you a little bit of the treatment data today. When we looked at provider-administered treatment of genital warts from these clinic visits, we found that approximately two-thirds of visits involved provider-administered treatment. And if any of you are clinicians, you can understand how labor-intensive that can be. What I don't show here is the number of prescriptions that were written during that time for genital warts, and across the board, less than 3% of these visits involved prescriptions. So the majority of treatment is being treated by in-clinic provider treatment. Through the system, we do collect a lot of information about HPV vaccination, but these variables are not fully implemented across the sites, so I'm not presenting these data today. Eventually, though, however, we plan to assess what proportion of all eligible women have received HPV vaccine through this system. And right now, of the 17 clinics, actually only one of those 17 clinics is offering the HPV vaccine at this time. In terms of how we can use these Sun genital wart data, I'm going to give you a couple examples. One, we can monitor the burden of disease in STD clinics. Right now, we can say that genital wart visits accounted for an average of 4% of STD clinic visits in 2006 and 2007. And then this is our baseline information, and we hope to be able to say with time how this changes over time. We can also monitor the characteristics of patients with genital warts. And what we see right now is that two-thirds of patients with genital warts were under the age of 29. And right now, over half of genital wart visits were follow-up visits during this time period. But again, what's going to be most of interest is how this changes over time. These are just baseline data before the full rollout of the vaccine. We then also hope to be able to describe the HPV vaccine status of STD clinic patients once it's being offered, and whether it's being offered in STD clinics or other settings. This is an ideal opportunity to look at the proportion of eligible women attending STD clinics that have been vaccinated. So there's some limitations to our system. We really are looking only at the STD clinic population, although as many of you know, this is often where people seek care for genital warts. We have a limited number of participating clinics in geographic areas that we're covering, but we do hope to modify that with time and improve the number of sites we have participating in this system. There is some slight variability in the methodology since this is just integrated into routine activities and this is just routine data that people are collecting in their databases, but this is real life data. And we don't have trends over time, but we will have that. In summary, we found that genital wart visits are as common as gonorrhea visits in most STD clinics, if not more common. Over half of the genital wart visits are due to recurrent and subsequent disease, and that about two-thirds of genital wart visits involve provider-administered treatment. And the implications of this are that genital wart disease poses a significant burden on STD clinic workload, and that widespread uptake of the quadrivalent HPV vaccine may have an important impact on STD clinic workload. I'd like to thank all the participating Sun sites who worked so hard to get this activity up and running in record time, and some of my CDC colleagues that helped out. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Yeah. The question is, do I have a feeling for why the characteristics of patients with genital warts vary so much between the East Coast and the West Coast?
No, actually, why the prevalence is higher than the West Coast.
Why is it so much more? Why are genital warts so much more of a common reason for visit in the West Coast as opposed to the East Coast? I think what that is what we're doing is we're calculating this based on all reasons for visit, all clinic visits at these clinics. And what you find in New York City, especially, is that a large proportion of those visits are HIV test visits only. And we have not subset this to new, clinician encounter visits or anything like that. New York City actually looked at this just for their data, and when they look at just provider visits, the proportion it goes up much higher. So part of what we're seeing here is dilution because of a high volume of HIV testing that is just HIV testing going on at these STD clinics. Yeah. The question is why right now is only one of the 17 clinics offering the vaccine? Many of the other clinics are interested in offering the vaccine, although in some places there is a lot more of a push in that this is being viewed as a cervical cancer vaccine more than a STD vaccine. Reluctance in at least one of these states to roll it out first in the STD clinic. They'd rather get it out in their other settings first. So that's one reason. Other reasons being it's just a matter of time. Most of these places, the legislation and the money and the funding for all this is still being worked out. But I think it is a really important reminder that STD clinics serve a population of great need. And in my mind, I think it's really important to monitor the coverage of these people who I think it'll be a very good indication of access. Are we accessing the population in greatest need of this vaccine? So we've got baseline data right now that I think it's fine, right? With time, we will be able to see how well we actually cover this population at greatest need for this vaccine. Back there on the aisle. So the question is, do we have any data right now from the private sector on the number of cases they're seeing? We're actively doing, and Lori knows a lot more about this, but we're actively looking at how we are going to be able to monitor that. That is an absolutely important, critical area that we need to monitor as well. We're still looking as to which of the databases would be best to monitor that.
Just briefly, and as we're not covering this specifically, but there'll be some mention of this in subsequent talks, but a variety of groups have looked at administrative data from insurance databases or from managed care organizations, and these have been published, and we're going to be looking at some of those databases over time. We're also going to be looking at genital warts in the vaccine safety data link, and this will be discussed later in this presentation. So we do have plans to monitor that as well.
Did I see there was one more person who had a question? Yes. I think we have someone from that clinic. It's Seattle that offers the vaccine, and it's only being offered to women, correct, Matt? Free vaccine in Seattle, Washington is being offered to women age 19 and under. The question, I forgot to repeat the question. The question was, is the vaccine being offered to all women or all patients? only to women. You? Oh, sorry. Two sites. Two of my sites. So the Red Door Clinic in Minnesota is also offering it to women aged 26 and under. Mm-hmm. If you're 18 and under, you need consent. So it's being offered routinely to 19 to 26-year-olds without consent. And there's a woman back there.
The vaccine is licensed from 9 to 20 for women 9 to 26. The routine recommended age is 11 to 12 year olds, but it can be given as young as 9.
Okay.
I can fairly confidently say that no, we do not have that information. He wanted to know, do we have information on the seroprevalence of types 6 and 11 in women under the age of 26 attending STD clinics? No, we don't. Of the vaccine in that population, absolutely. In terms of genital warps prevention, yes, absolutely.